2020, a new decade begins and a new opportunity for the Lord starts as we gather together to celebrate the Lord this first Sunday of the new decade. Now, recently, I visited the ophthalmologist to get my eyes checked for visual acuity. Ever have that feeling that your eyes are playing tricks on you? Well, during my visit to the ophthalmologist,
the doctor pointed out that I had one eye that was hyperopia, which means farsighted, and the other eye suffers from myopia, which is a nearsightedness. The doctor explained that my eye condition is called monovision or blended vision. He said this condition will postpone the need for full-time corrective lenses as it gives me the ability to focus on things close up through one eye and far away through the other eye. However, he warned that such an eye condition, monovision, you will lose your depth perception. So don't be throwing me keys or pins or stuff because that might become dangerous for me. So for me, the good news is I don't need corrective lenses for everyday function, but I still need a cheater lens when I'm reading that fine print stuff, and I need a distance lens if I want to see the individual leaves in the tree rather than a clump or green, or I need that distant lens if I want to see something different than halo headlights coming at me down the road when I'm driving at night. So though monovision has some benefits to it in the aging population, it is nothing like being able to see with 20/20 vision. You know, 20/20 vision is that ability to read the eighth line on the eye chart from 20 feet away, and I remember those days, even though they were long ago. Someone once told me, one of my friends, when we were discussing about getting a bit older, he told me this: getting older isn't for sissies. And I think he's right. As we approach the year 2020, a new decade, and after my visit to the ophthalmologist, I started to think about spiritual vision and how a person might measure their spiritual vision as it relates to the will of God and as it relates to their relationship with God. I question, what would 2020 spiritual vision look like in the life of a Christian, one who has accepted Christ as their Savior? And so it was an interesting question, an interesting idea. So I began to explore, is there a means test, a matrix of some sort that would help me to measure the strength of my spiritual vision, the clarity of my spiritual vision, my spiritual acuity as it pertains to the will of God? And my initial thinking, you see, right? You see? Get it? Okay. It's that healthy spiritual vision may be important to our success in following and serving and glorifying God. Spiritual vision is important to our ability to follow, to serve, and to glorify God in our lives. As I thought about a matrix to measure spiritual vision, it dawned on me that here we are at the first Sunday of a new decade that we also call Communion Sunday. And on Communion Sunday, we collectively partake of the Lord's Supper. And in partaking of the Lord's Supper, we eat unleavened bread or cracker, and we drink juice that symbolically portray the death of Jesus Christ and the shedding of his blood to wash away our sins. We take the elements of the communion service as a testimony of our faith and to proclaim his death until he returns. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Now, when it comes to the communion service, we know part of the process or part of the preparation for communion to prevent communion from becoming mundane and routine and to prevent it from becoming some kind of rote religious practice or hoop that we jump through, is that the Apostle Paul instructed us that every believer, that we are to examine ourselves before the Lord. We are called by God in relationship to those participating in communion, that we are to examine ourselves. Therefore, in one sense, communion is a time when a believer is called to check their spiritual vision, to check their spiritual behavior. Are they seeking the will of God, and are they walking in the center of God's will? Are they walking well with the Lord? 1 Corinthians 11:23 reveals that the communion service is not simply a religious act, a religious duty that we have, but it should be a time that is meaningful. A time that is meaningful in the way that we become introspective of ourselves in regard to our interaction with God. Is He alive and relevant in our life? Is He making a difference in how we view our life? Is He making a difference in how we conduct our life? Is He making a difference in how we move and act among the people that we know? Is God making a difference? So communion is an introspective time. On the back of your bulletin is 1 Corinthians 11:23 through 32. Let me read it and follow along as I read, if you would. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, He took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. But if we judge ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord, so that we will not be condemned along with the world. As an important part, or an important part of the communion service, is this idea: let a man examine himself. Since a man examining himself is an essential part of the communion service, there is implied that there is some sort of matrix, some sort of 20/20 matrix by which a believer is to measure themselves in order to evaluate honestly if they are walking faithfully in the will of God. For if you are called to examine yourself, you must have some sort of standard by which you're measuring yourself to in order to rightly examine what you are doing. It makes sense to me that an examination requires a standard or a model by which something or someone is to be measured against. Now, in life, we are all familiar with exams and a standard by which something is measured. When you go into the doctor for a physical exam and they listen to your heart, or they do a blood test, they measure what your results are to some standard that says you are healthy or unhealthy, or you need help or assistance in some area. When you go to the dentist, don't you love that? And they put you under that x-ray and they look in your mouth, and they have a standard by which they examine your teeth to determine whether your teeth are healthy or not. When you go to the DMV to get your driver's license, there's an exam, there's a standard by which you are measured to be determined whether you are competent as a driver or not, and safe to be on the road, not only for yourselves, but other people. Now, the one that I really loved was finals week in college. You know, you took the exam. And there, as you took the exam, you were measuring whether you had acquired the knowledge that was needed in order to demonstrate a proficiency in a subject in order to move to the next section of the class. Another one that is a lot of fun is when we go to the gym, that standard of how many chin-ups can you do? How many push-ups can you do? There's, in life, you see, across the board, it is full of exams. There are full of opportunities to measure yourself against a standard or against a model in order to find out how well you're doing. Are you being successful? Are you healthy? Are you doing good? So exams are not necessarily a negative thing. We tend to look at them negative because we might get a little stressed at an exam. We might get a little intense at an exam. But really, an exam is a helpful thing to us because it helps us to measure where we are in terms of our ability to do something. I mean, aren't you glad that your doctor has taken some medical exams to prove their proficiency and being able to treat you and doctor you? So the exams are a good thing. They're a helpful thing for us. And so I was thinking, I'm glad that my mechanic has taken some exams, especially when he's working on the brakes of my car. You know, I'm glad that he is proficient in that. So exams help us. They tell a tale. They tell us about proficiency. And also exams, as they show us our proficiency, they also point out maybe areas of weakness that we have. Areas in which we need to improve in order to become better equipped to do something. In 1 Corinthians 11, we are called by God to examine ourselves concerning the quality of our walk with God. We are called to examine the degree of obedience that we have to His will, to evaluate the places in our lives where we might be falling short in serving or walking with God. Self-examination on the spiritual front may result in us saying, you know what, I find myself deficient in an area, and as a result, I need to confess my sin. I need to confess my stumbling. And in confessing that sin and that stumbling, it helps reinforce us, and it helps to reinforce me as I seek to improve the quality of my walk with God in the coming days and then in the coming weeks. Note, our exam at communion is a self-inspection. It's not done by the denomination. Your exam at communion, it's not done by the church. It's not performed by the pastor or anyone else. The idea here is let a man or woman examine him or herself, the believer under the guidance of God's Holy Spirit, is to examine themselves in regard to their walk with God, in regard to God's the intimacy that they have with God in their life. The great news is this, though. If we judge ourselves rightly, if we judge ourselves honestly, then we will not need to be judged by anybody else. Because when we judge ourselves rightly, honestly, and we find that we are deficient in some area, what do? We confess our sins. And He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So there is no need for the Lord to examine us because we've confessed that sin and He washes it away. And so it's gone forever as far as the east is from the west. So there is a benefit to us to be honest in our self-examination before the Lord. There is a benefit for us to be introspective, for if we judge ourselves rightly, we have no need to be judged by somebody else or by the Lord, as the passage talks about at the end of the verse there. So self-examination as guided by God's Holy Spirit is a time to check out our spiritual vision for God and to check out His will in our life. Do we have 20/20 spiritual vision? How well is our walk with God? Are we in sync with the will of God? Self-examination is an essential part of our spiritual growth. Sometimes self-examination is hard, as I have to confess. Sometimes self-examination is reinforcing because I find, you know what? As I look at myself, I'm doing some things right. You see, we tend to look at self-examination from the negative. But self-examination is also to identify the fact that, you know what, I'm making some right decisions along the way. I made a decision earlier in this week that was consistent with the will of God. And you know what, as I recognize that in my self-examination that I'm making decisions that are consistent with the will of God, that's an encouragement to me. And in that self-examination, I get to say, you know what, God, when I did that, it was for Your honor and glory. It was for Your praise. And so in our self-examination, when we find that we're doing something right, we then have opportunity to turn that back to God and say, Lord, that's for Your honor and glory. That's for Your praise. That's because of who You are in my life that good decision was made. And so we need to look at self-examination not only from the sense of examining to find out where we might have been wrong, but we need to examine ourselves and reinforce in our lives that which we're doing that is right and good and wholesome and helpful. You know, God, in that relationship with that person, it was so difficult because they've treated me with such a caustic spirit, but You gave me the grace to treat them with love. Thank You, Lord, for that grace. Thank You, Lord, for allowing me to act out under the direction of the Holy Spirit rather than under the direction of the flesh. You see, when we find those places that we're doing right, and we are able then to turn back and smile at our Heavenly Father and say, Lord, You did that in me, You did that through me, and I'm giving this back to You for Your honor and glory, you know what that does? It encourages us to do it right the next time. It encourages us to continue in faithfulness because it's exciting and fun to go to the Lord and honor Him. It's exciting and a happy place to be, to go to God and say, that was for Your honor and glory, God, and I know that You are pleased with it, and I know that it came as a result of Your guidance and direction in my life and the strength that You've given. As we practice giving praise to God, we get happier and happier, and then we look for, hey, where in my life can I find another place to bring God glory? To find another place where it's a difficult place, but God is going to give me the strength and the power to do the right thing in that situation. So then I will be able to come back to God again and say, hey, God, for Your glory, for Your honor. And so that self-examination that results in us looking at those places that we've done it right and have been faithful, and as we by joy give it back to the Lord, it encourages us in our life to be faithful in the next trial that we face. So self-examination is also a time of celebration in that way, as we acknowledge the positive strides we have made, the victories that have been won, as we acknowledge that as God has been working in my past and in my present, that I can have confidence that God is going to continue to work in my future as well. And because I know that God will continue to work in my future as well, then you know what I do? I begin to say, so what do I need to do to take the next positive step for the Lord? You see, it's motivating to us to be faithful in our walk. So it may, self-examination at times may include confession of sin as we judge ourselves rightly. And self-examination can be very positive because we can identify the strength of our relationship with the Lord and our fellowship with Him. And it helps us to determine the degree of spiritual health we have in our life. So, application. Through the reading of 1 Corinthians 11, we discover part of the process of discovering whether we have 20/20 spiritual vision begins with our willingness to be honest with ourselves in order that we might be honest with God. And let me just take a quick sidetrack here. Not that I'm prone to those things. In Psalms 51:6, and David's confession to Bathsheba. David said in regard to his confession that as he looked at himself, behold, thou desirest truth in the innermost being, and thou will make me to know wisdom. So the question is, why is truth in the innermost being so important to God giving us wisdom? And the solution or the answer is this. If we are not honest with ourselves in terms of where we are at with God and what we are doing and how we were acting, if we are not honest with ourselves, we cannot be honest with God. And if we're not honest with ourselves, then we are not looking to God for solutions to our problem, our solutions to our issue. And so honesty in the innermost being is the first step to having the right relationship with God. Because I can only be honest with God as I'm honest with myself. And God can only give me wisdom in regard to a problem when I admit that the problem exists. If I don't admit the problem exists, then I'm not looking for answers. I'm not pursuing God for solutions. I'm not asking Him how I should then move in regard to His will. And so self-examination is the essential part of getting to the wisdom of God, because until we are honest with ourselves, we will not be honest with God. Let a man examine himself. Next, think back to the time when you were a non-believer. Now, I know some of you might have come to know the Lord early as a child, and so there may not be a lot of thoughts there. But think back to when you were a non-believer, those BC days, those before Christ days in your life. In those days, the Bible tells us you were dead in your trespasses and sin, Ephesians 2:1. Since dead men can't see, they are obviously spiritually blind. So they have a spiritual unawareness and they lack spiritual discernment in their life. That's how we were BC, before Christ came into our life. We were without the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. As a result, according to Isaiah 64:6, God declared that our works were as filthy rags. It says, "For all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like filthy rags, and all of us wither like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away." Now, to help us understand what application might be associated with Isaiah 64:6, think about the way of the Pharisees for a moment. The Pharisees performed many religious acts. They were very religious people. They did lots of religious works. They were very religious, and religion was the center of everything they did. Yet when the Pharisees came before Jesus, Jesus pointed out that their good works, their righteous works, were wrought with evil. Jesus pointed out to them that in a corresponding way that their works were as filthy rags. For more information about Jesus' view of the Pharisees, look at Matthew 23, where Jesus pronounced the 8 woes against the Pharisees who did not judge themselves rightly. And because the Pharisees did not judge themselves rightly, eventually God will judge them rightly. Thus, all of us at one point in our lives, all of us were dead in our trespasses and sin. And all of us, our works were as filthy rags before the Lord because we knew not God, and our good works could not earn favor with the holy God because we were people of sin. But then something marvelous, something awesome, something amazing, something supernatural happened to us. When we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, when we trusted in the atoning work of Christ, we were born again. And we were made alive through the Holy Spirit of promise unto God once again. Through salvation in Christ, we received an alive new nature before God. On the front of your bulletin, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Therefore, in our second birth, we became alive. We became newborn creatures in Christ and given the opportunity to make a decision. And all of us have a decision, you know, in this life right now because of our new life in Christ. We can choose to have a beautiful, healthy walk with God, 20/20 spiritual vision for the Lord, or we can choose to backslide and stray away from God, to do our own thing and miss the blessings of being in the center of God's will. Each one of us here have a capacity that we didn't have before Christ. Before Christ, all our works were as filthy rags, no matter how good they were. But in our new creation, we truly have a free will to choose. Follow God, obey God, go our own way, or do our own thing. And so we have a choice to make. Therefore, as a believer, you need to ask yourself, what do I choose? That is part of the self-examination. What am I choosing? Now, as I considered this spiritual freedom in Christ, a new nature, the ability to choose faithfulness to God, I asked myself, if I desire 20/20 spiritual acuity with God, how do I get there? How do I make that work? How do I get to the place where I have good spiritual vision in my Christian life and following the Lord? How do I go about gaining 20/20 vision? What's the process? Well, we know it includes self-examination. So I thought this week. And my thoughts went to different action points. What must I do to stay on track with God? So I got out my piece of paper and I began to busy myself and I began to make lists and of things that I needed to do to help me be more spiritually alert and to have a 20/20 vision for the Lord. I thought about my need to be well-disciplined, a well-disciplined Bible reading schedule that will get me through the Bible in the year. If I do that, that will be helpful. I thought about my need as well for having an active and vibrant prayer life, preferably in the morning hours, so I start my day out right and on track with God. I considered my need to sit under the teaching of Bible teachers who were gifted preachers and had great insight to the Word of God so that they might challenge my life in ways that I wouldn't naturally see on my own. I considered my need to read the writings of spiritually deep thinking authors on subject matters that apply to me. And then the cherry on the top to all of this was, I need to be more active in memorizing scripture, hiding God's word in my heart so I might not sin against God. And so as I got done with my list and I looked at it there, I thought, wow, now that is a plan, and this plan will get me spiritually organized for 2020, and it will help me have 2020 spiritual vision for the Lord. This is a 2020 plan, I concluded as I sat there. Slam dunk, count it. And as I patted myself on the back, connecting all these important religious spiritual dots together, spiritual dots that would lead me to spiritual maturity, God whispered in my ear, great work. You're only missing one thing. Me. My spirit froze. And I felt myself questioning, Lord, come again? I didn't quite get all of what you said. And God spoke to my heart very deliberate, slowly, so even I could understand. Great work. You are only missing one thing. Me. God went on speaking to me in my sanctified imagination. He said, you see, the Pharisees did all these things that you've placed on your matrix of spiritual measurement. But all of these things means nothing if you don't begin with me. If you don't begin with our relationship. Don't get confused. Doing things for me doesn't necessarily mean